Well, you know, Kevin Barker, a wise man told me about three Jose Barrios starts ago that we were trying to figure out the lack of consistency being the issue with Jose Barrios. One of the things this wise man told me was focus on what he does to left-handed hitters. That, of course, was you.
Nice.
Which is the only time I'm ever going to call you a wise man. But anyhow, there you go. Focus on what he does to left-handed hitters. Kevin Barker tonight. Lefties were 2-for-13 with a couple of walks. He was really good, Jose Barrios, wasn't he?
He was. Well, there's a couple of things that stood out to me. If you've noticed, I think the last couple of starts anyway, he's made a deliberate change in his little windup that he's trying to make sure he sets his in his legs. He wants to use his legs a little bit more. He's been in a hurry his first couple of starts there. He just wasn't connected, and the arm was lagging behind, and that's why the fastball command was all over the place. And the second thing I saw tonight, he wasn't overthrowing his breaking ball. You know, those couple of starts that he had a lot of non-competitive breaking balls, he was trying to force break. And whenever you do that, you overthrow it right out of your hand. It's a non-competitive pitch, and these big league hitters are going to lay off that. He gets some fastball counts, and that's why coming into tonight, the average against his fastball was 392. That was better. All of those things that, you know, he needed to do, he did tonight. Now, he only had four swing and misses. I don't know if that's alarming or not, other than, you know, occasionally with two strikes, he's going to need a swing and miss pitch. And if you had anything you could pick at him a little bit, it's the quality of the two-strike pitch. It's just not there, really. It's what is he going to against a left-handed hitter? Is it the harder slurve? Is it the slower backdoor one? Because he did have a couple of those. He had an 82 one. He had an 85 one. Can he use the sink and change up against the lefty? Can he elevate the fastball? That's still a work in progress, but how can you argue the couple of starts he's had here in a row? This is exactly what the doctor ordered. They needed to come home, and I said this on Blair and Barker, that they need to come home here and start getting healthy, getting some confidence. The at-bats are starting to get better. The starting pitching's been great. The bullpen's starting to fill in the blanks. They're playing good defense, running the bases the way they're supposed to. They're getting some timely hits when they have to. You're going for the sweep tomorrow. You got your big boy on the mound. You're facing the lefty. It's time to get it down and get it singing, Jeff.
You know, Kevin, it was funny. Before the game, Scott Servais was holding court in the Seattle dugout, and he was talking about how you deal with youngish players who are struggling, particularly with runners in scoring position. Now, the conversation was about his team, not this team. But he had an interesting point about, with young players in particular, he talked about how different teams tend to respond differently to different types of messaging. And he basically said there are two approaches. And the approach that they take, he said, the message that they take is to be a little more attack-minded. He said there's two ways to do about it, be patient or be a little more attack-minded. And it was interesting hearing him talk about that because I think in a lot of ways the stuff he was talking about with the Mariners could be applicable to the Blue Jays as well.
Well, a little bit of that, too, is that you don't want to be the guy screwing up all the time. You don't want to be the guy that's coming up a lot and not getting a big hit. And for me, it gets down to one thing. Stay within yourself. I know that is the tiredest way to talk about hitting, but it's true. When the big moments matter the most, you're the guy standing at the plate. What do I do well? Do I like the ball in? I'm going to look for the ball in until I get to two strikes. If I like the ball away, I'm going to look for the ball away until I get to two strikes. I think at this level, the way the pitching is now, when they think about spinning it, first, you know, Logan Gilbert, he's a different animal. He was thinking fastball first, but that, you know, that thing got some hair on it. It's coming out hot. It's short arm and it's three-quarter arm slot. You know, he's got a lot of confidence in that thing. But for the most part, it's spinning it first, and then you're trying to elevate the hard stuff ahead in the count. That's, for me, that's what you have to do. You pass the baton with quality at bats. Quality at bats for me is, what do I do well at the plate? If I like it in a certain spot, I'm going to look for that spot till I get the two strikes, and then I'm going to battle my butt off. And you're starting to see better at bats from the Blue Jays. You are. They've been better the last couple of days.
Yeah, the Springer double now, or I'm sorry, the Springer triple. Granted, you know, that if you look at it again on replay, it looks as if Steven Souza probably could have taken, could have been a little more, I don't know if deliberate's the word, a little more aggressive out of the gate. He seemed to kind of stutter a little bit before he went after the ball, not to take anything away from George. But that triple, obviously, the bases-clearing triple, the first triple of the year for the Blue Jays, you know, that's kind of what they've been waiting for, isn't it? I mean, we've talked about this. Yeah, it's great if everybody hits home runs and everything, but kind of putting that inning together you know, with a double, and then you get a hit by pitch, and then Gurriel's called out in strikes, and then you get a single, and then, you know, you get the clutch hit coming up with two out. Those are the kind of innings that kind of get you out of these things, don't they?
That's why you went out and paid a leadoff hitter big time money, is to get big time hits when your team needs them the most. But I don't know about you, whenever I was watching that inning, I saw Lourdes Gurriel Jr. take three heaters, center cut right down the middle,
97 like down the middle.
They were as right down the middle as you can get, and then Santiago Espinal comes up with Alejandro Kirk at second base and hits a decent ball to center field, and it just sort of seemed like no matter what they do with runners in scoring position, you just can't score a run. Like, that's a guy, you know, you should be scoring from there. You should have a better secondary lead. You should be a good enough base runner that a three-hopper to the center fielder, you should be able to score from second base, but that's just basically the way their season's going. They needed their big guy to walk up to the plate. You know, sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good. You mentioned, you know, Souza Jr. with the route, that ball had a little tail away from him when he dove. It's sort of tailing away because he got jammed the inside out of the baseball. And that's what you do. You know, you need some luck occasionally, and luck breeds confidence, Jeff. And you know as well as anybody, baseball and especially hitting and pitching is all about confidence. And now when you have confidence walking to the plate in those big moments, you're ahead of the game.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. 3-0, the Jays beating the Seattle Mariners. They'll go for the sweep with Kevin Gausman on the mound tomorrow. The Jays, winners of back-to-back games for the first time since the calendar turned on May 1st. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Kevin, not really an important part of the game per se, but I found this really interesting, listening to the talking to some of the Mariners folks before the game. And listening a little bit to their call of the game, and Logan Gilbert in particular, who is, you know, we talked about him, Blair and Barker, right? The guy's developing a slider. The guy's developing, he's got a cutter. Basically the type of guy that would probably give the Jays fits. I don't know what this means. It may not mean anything. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr. gets a single in the first inning on a change, which is the first hit Logan Gilbert's given up on the change this year. Does that say anything to you about Vladdy's approach? Do you see anything today? A single, yeah, he got the ground out, then he drew the walk. Are you seeing any signs at all that maybe we're seeing something from Vladdy that we've seen from Bo in recent games?
Maybe, for me, he's still late. He's late with his lower half. He's got a couple of starts. You know, I talk about the fruition of his gather, and you always laugh at me when I say that. But it's that first thing he does. He stops it, and then he starts it again. And you always see him trying to separate that little, you know, stride he takes after he takes a swing. He'll step out, and he'll do that stride, little stride separation, where he's trying to tell his mind that I need to get it here in an athletic position so I can see the ball better and recognize when I want to throw my hands at a certain pitch. And, you know, he's a little in between. Maybe he's trying too hard. Maybe he's, you know, expectations are a little bit much for him here early in the season. But it's just, for me, get a good pitch to hit. The ball away tends to give him a little bit of problems. Doesn't seem like he wants to move around at the dish. He doesn't want to get any closer to the plate. If you're going to do that, you got to lay off of those good pitches away. Take those. If you can't drive it, if you can't make maximum contact with them, I'd rather him take them. Because if a pitcher can throw three of those on the black out there, you tip your hat to him, you walk away, you live to fight another day. Most of them can't do that. Sooner or later, they're going to throw you something on the middle of the plate or outer third, a little elevated, something you can get in the air to right center field. Have that approach. The more he has that approach, because he has tons of talent and more bat speed than anybody on planet Earth, he'll do special things.
Sean Callaghan, you want to talk about the Jays hitting coaches?
Yeah, I want to first start off that I've enjoyed Caleb Joseph the last couple of games. I hope he can stick around. I think a two-man booth is better than one. And I think you guys will agree the Jays have had a really tough schedule, and they're in the playoff spot right now, the third spot, and I think that's a good thing. Once the bats start heating up in the summer, they should look really good. But we talk a lot about Pete Walker. I wanted to hear Kevin Barker's opinion on the hitting coach. because Kevin talks a lot about the Jays hitting. So just wanted to hear your opinion on that.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Thanks for the call. It's very hard because they have so many of them. Like, the, you know, they have a specialist to get you ready for certain pitches of a game. They have, you know, a middle man, so to speak, and he does a lot of everything. And then they have Guillermo Martinez. And it is – look, I think it's a hitting coach's job to know every single player – what they do well. So when they're going bad, they're doing something that they don't want to do. He has a little phrase, he has a little drill that can get them right back locked in. But for me, their struggles early on anyway, from what I've noticed, has nothing to do with mechanics. It's not like something Guillermo Martinez can walk up to you know, Vladdy or to Bo or to George Springer or to Teoscar Hernandez and say, you're doing this. And I'm sure they're tweaking some things in a batting cage. I don't know about you guys. When I watch the game, it's all about what they're swinging at. They expand way too much. And that, you know, whenever you expand and you think that you should be hitting baseballs outside the zone, that tends to tell your mind when you go in a cage after a game that I need to change something. Instead of just looking at the big picture that's right in front of you and say, if I get my pitch, all the mechanics and everything's going to line up and I'm going to get in that athletic, strong position to make maximum contact with the baseball. And the woes that the Blue Jays are going through, I know everybody wants to blame coaches, and I throw the blame on the player. I think it is a adjustment league, and whoever or in whatever team makes the quicker adjustments, that's the team that wins and wins more games and goes to the playoffs and goes deep into the playoffs. And right now the Blue Jays are struggling to make those quick adjustments. The quicker they are, I will say this, last couple of days, the at-bats have been a lot better. They've been getting better pitches to hit. You know, a lot of the times they're not squaring up the baseball, but at least they're getting better pitches to hit, which is half the battle.
Yeah, and I know that from talking to Pat Tabler that he's had a conversation with Dave Hudgens. And one of the things Dave Hudgens said, and this was yesterday, you know, in the last three games, they thought their swing decisions were better. The swing decisions they were making in the zone were better. And hence, that would get to your point, Kevin, about the at-bats. There does seem to be a better quality of at-bat. I would argue even the games against Tampa, there were some better at-bats than we were seeing against Cleveland. I think, anyhow.
An example is what I mentioned about what you swing at, and a lot of times it's all about what you don't swing at. Just think about if you're Bo Bichette. He's a very aggressive, out-of-the-zone swinger. He's going to swing at everything. He thinks he can barrel up baseballs at his ear to his calf. Like, it's, you know, it's and it's that big of an area. Mechanically, how do you get in an athletic position to hit all those things? Like, and then when you're not hitting things, how do you – erase not thinking about it's mechanical and it's just about what I'm zoning in and trying to hit and barrel up baseball. So it's, you know, it's, this is a process. Sometimes these guys are going through things. It's just, it's shown a giant light on it because everybody's all struggling at the same time. And this is what it is, you know, it took that one game. It took Vladimir Guerrero Jr. against the Yankees on those three balls in that went deep to go, hey, this ain't going to work. Now we have to make adjustments, and now it's up to a really good offensive team, and they're still a good offensive team, to make adjustments. If they make those adjustments, they'll start hitting more balls hard.
416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. 3-0 for the Blue Jays over the Seattle Mariners, the second of three games. The series will wrap up tomorrow. At the Rogers Center, it will be Kevin Gausman on the mound for the Blue Jays, Marco Gonzalez for the Mariners, followed by a day off, and then the Cincinnati Reds are in town for three games. I should mention, by the way, that at least according to Charlie Montoyo, Jordan Romano, we talked about how he was not available yesterday due to a non-COVID illness, is still considered day-to-day with a non-COVID illness. He was not available today. Hence, we saw Adam Simber come in for yet another appearance, and for back to back saves. Kevin, the other thing that I think really stands out from this game as well is we saw a little bit of the defense from the Blue Jays that we were seeing earlier in the year as well. A little better infield defense from them. You know, I mean, we can sing the praises of Matt Chapman every night, but the freedom he gives the rest of the folks in the infield is. Again, it was demonstrated tonight.
Well, we talk about decision making at the plate. You can relay that to the defensive side of the ball too. Matt Chapman, for me, what I've noticed is really good at making decisions on when he is supposed to lay back on a baseball, when he's supposed to come after a baseball. When you get those in between hops like that double play turn tonight, you have to come get that. You got to be aggressive, and you have to have soft hands. Talk about really good defenders. I know Billy Ripken, we had him on our show today. He talks a lot about having soft hands. You put your feet in the right position, and because you have soft hands and you can give up that baseball, get it out front. That way you can have the good transfer and have the ball go where you want it to go. He has an accurate arm. He puts it most of the time right on the money, and that's exactly what you want. And give Bo credit. Bo had a good turn tonight. He got everything lined up exactly to the target, to where he wanted the baseball to go, which is baseball 101. It sounds like the simplest thing, but when you do those things, the ball tends to go where you want it to go. And that turn in big moments of the game, even though it was in the second inning, you still have to make the plays when you have to make them, and that's exactly what the Blue Jays did. This is what good teams do. Good teams all the time are not going to win 7-2, 8-3. They're going to have to win these 3-0 games, and you do it with timely hitting and some great defense and some great starting pitching, and that's exactly what they got tonight.
Chris in Stony Creek, you thought Berríos looked a lot more like the Berríos we saw last year, the good Berríos.
Yeah, I think tonight he looked like the Berríos from last year. I mean, the ball's darting out of the zone and then back in, as opposed to beginning the season, it's more darting in the zone and then out of the zone, you know. But I just want to comment about the hitting, you know, from what you guys are saying there. I mean, for me, you know, it's great to see guys get hits, but really, like, it's about quality at bats, you know, and quality at bats will turn into hits, you know. Like, I remember Wilner said one time, in all of professional sports, no matter where you look around, I mean, what's harder to do in professional sports than hitting a baseball? Is it hitting a golf ball? Is it making a free throw, making a three? I mean, hitting a baseball.
It's winning a playoff round if you're the Maple Leafs. Too early?
It's way too early for that.
It's still fresh, Jeff. It's still fresh. Still fresh.
I know. I shouldn't rub salt.
Apologize.
But I couldn't help it. No, yeah, I'm not going to apologize.
But like, we're still selling sharp objects around the city of Toronto. So let's just get rid of those first, right? And then we make the comments all we want. But, like, so really, I mean, what's harder than hitting a baseball? You know what I mean? So really, at the end of the day, I mean, the quality at bats, like Jeff's saying, or sorry, like Kevin's saying, the quality at bats come, then the hits start to come. So to see these guys get a number doing quality at bats, I mean, then everybody, the team will start to heat up. They'll start to get, you know, hitting with runners in scoring position, and then you'll start to see this team really take off. For me personally, last comment I'll make is, you know, a lot of good teams in baseball, around 50 games, they kind of hover around 500, you know, 5 or 6 games above 500. Then after 50 games, that's where you get your poop together, and then you start to really take off.
Yeah, listen, thanks for the call. We have talked about in the past about sort of that whole thing. There are thirds, I guess, to the season, which is hard to do when there's 162 games, but they're kind of three separate parts of the season. One where you've done all your work in spring training, you come out, you see whether what you thought about your team in spring training holds true to form. Generally, once the draft is done, the amateur draft, you start zeroing in a little more on what you need to do to change, to make the team better, to address issues. Then the final third of the year or so after the trade deadline is you play it out. Now you've gone through those three stages, if you want. And, you know, I guess the way I look at it is this, and you know, let's see what it looks like when the Jays come back from seeing the Los Angeles Angels. If they can put together a little run here, if they can take 5 of 6 on this homestand, I think that's it's okay. I think they will have undone some of the damage that was done by that hiccup. But the big question now, and this is something that is completely out of their hands, but the big question now, Kevin, is, and even though it's only May 17th, it's the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees have put a little bit of separation between them and everybody else in the division, not just the Jays. everybody else in the division. And there's still, I think, even though it's early, there's still going to be have to be a little bit of coming back to earth from the Yankees if you want to have a shot at winning this division. There just has to be.
I really wonder how GMs think of their teams that are expected to go to the playoffs and go deep, make a deep playoff run. The Blue Jays are expected to do that. And then to get off to this start here and get past the freaking out stage. Let's be honest. Like, offensively, yeah, they've really done nothing. And for them to do nothing when they were supposed to come into the season and do absolutely everything, like to say that they were supposed to hit the ground running offensively and just absolutely annihilate people, and they haven't done that. And I'd be very interested to hear Ross's, you know, thoughts on how he would be thinking about that, because I'm with Chris. I'm with you about the 50-60 game mark. That's when you start understanding who you are as a team. But I just think expectations for this team were so high to begin the season, and now they've had so many issues offensively. Do they still feel that way, I think, is my question. I'm not real sure if you asked Ross that, if he would feel the same exact way about the 50 or 60 games. He would think you would, because of the expectations and how good this offensive team was supposed to be and how it hasn't been that way. You know, it might be closer to that 35 mark.
Well, I mean, the thing we haven't really seen is with this team, certainly recently, is for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is health, but we really haven't seen one of those games where it all clicks. And I tend to think that we see fewer of those games in season than we often think we do. Like, if you look back at last year, there were a lot of games that the Jays won where it was one or two people carrying them. I mean, it just was. It's not like every night was past the baton. But there's still, you know, look at today's lineup. Vladdy's fighting through some stuff. Teoscar, he hasn't hit the ground running necessarily. Chapman, we've talked about. Gurriel, same thing. You've essentially got four key players that are either trying to find their footing or aren't even, you know, in Gurriel's case, aren't even close to doing that yet. And that's, I don't know if I really thought that there would be too many times this year where we would see that group kind of all going through the same thing, but you look for positive signs, and
okay,
you know, I'm seeing some positive signs out of Chapman.
Let's be honest. Coming into the season, if I would have told you that facing Seattle that the Blue Jays took the first two games against two right-handed pitchers, and they were facing a lefty in Game Three with Kevin Gausman on the mound, you'd think this is a no-brainer. They're sweeping this three-game series in a heartbeat. This is a no-brainer. They're facing a lefty at home. They're going to do some mashing going back Lake City. There's a little doubt in that. Like, you know, lefties now, they don't always have to make quality pitches against this guy, and I think that's a little bit further to my point when it comes to I'm with everybody about the 50 or 60 games, but sometimes, you know, when the expectations are so high for a team and they get off to a start with something that, quite frankly, they were supposed to be the best at in Major League Baseball, not the American League, in baseball, it makes you wonder, that's a little doubt, and I think they're fighting through that. They're fighting through that as a lineup. You know, there's some young guys who are trying to do a little bit too much. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is one of them. How many times do you ever see a big league hitter with runners in scoring position take three, I don't care how hard the guy throws, took three heaters right down the middle?
Yeah.
Unless he's thinking about everything else other than seeing that baseball and putting his best swing on the baseball. So,
well, Kevin, I got to say this as well. I mean, look at the situation. Look at the situation Gurriel was in. A leadoff double, and Matt Chapman's just hit a batter. Like, what is Logan Gilbert going to be thinking when you step up to the plate?
Aim for the big part of the plate and throw best pitch.
Yeah, exactly. There was some velocity. 97 is 97, but it was
right down the middle.
I mean, it was hittable. It was right down the middle.
It was
right down the middle. And that's, again, I keep saying Springer does some stuff. Bichette looks like he's come out of it. Chapman, I mean, there's still three or four guys that kind of need to get it going, and there will come a point in time, and who knows when it will be. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it'll be when the Reds come into town. Hell, maybe it'll be when Hunter Green's on the mound. I don't know, but there will be a time where they'll have one of those games where you'll look down the lineup, and almost everybody will have had a hit, and everybody will have contributed.
Or there just will be. Or the strength of this team might be their starting pitching.
It could be the starting pitching. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 3-0, the Blue Jays beating the Seattle Mariners in front of 22,998 at the Rogers Center. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow, and we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Simbers, 3-2 pitch. Bounce towards the hole. Cut off by Chapman. Spins around. Throws to first to finish the ball game. Adam Simber comes in and he dazzles again. A 3-up, 3-down, top of the ninth, and a winning edition of Blue Jays baseball.
That was Ben Wagner with the final call. 3-0, the Blue Jays beating the Seattle Mariners tonight. And now, the Bet365 standings update. Bet365 is the world's favorite sports book. With 63 million members worldwide, 19-plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. As we look at the AL East standings, the Yankees setting the pace. They are 26-9. They are up 5-3 over the Baltimore Orioles right now in the bottom of the ninth inning. Tampa Bay, they're done. They beat the Tigers 8-1. They're at 22-15. Of course, the Blue Jays now 20-17 after tonight's win. The Boston Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox are 14-21. They're in the middle of getting filleted 13-4 by the Houston Astros. Have a night, Nate Eovaldi, giving up 5 home runs in the second inning. My heart breaks for Nate Eovaldi and the Boston Red Sox. The Baltimore Orioles are 14-22. That is your Bet365 standings update.
Astros got a good team.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. Yeah, the Red Sox are, yeah. Anyhow.
Different challenges.
That's really, really tough to see. It really, really breaks my heart. Brendan Winnipeg, you're on with Blair and Barker on Blue Jays Talk. Thanks for your patience.
No worries, guys. How's it going tonight?
It's going great. Red Sox are getting their ass kicked. The Blue Jays won. Leafs are out of the playoffs. Couldn't be better.
Well, that sounds like the trifecta to me right there. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about Jose Berríos a little bit with you guys. And his fastball command over the last couple of games has been, in my mind, sensational. When he's at the bottom of the strike zone with that two-seamer, it looks almost unhittable to me. But he's made only that one mistake to Gleyber Torres. I don't know why you come up and in with a fastball when you have a guy in an 0-2 count and you had a great two-seamer that he had was just unhittable, and that breaking ball down and away was just nasty. I don't know what you're thinking, but whatever. That's smarter guys than me are calling that game, I guess. Mm. But
listen, I think this is the best outing of the year for him. I mean, I don't know what you guys think. I think it's the best outing of the year.
By far. Well, for me anyway, he's talking about the Gleyber Torres. He's trying to go in there. And the one issue he's had most of the year, and even tonight, is arm side. That arm side fastball, can he locate that into a righty and away to a lefty? If he can start doing that, it's going to open up the entire plate, and now he can spin it by not having to overthrow it, not trying to make it break too much. He can have a couple of different speeds with it tonight. He can steal a strike. He can throw it a little harder, have it break a little bit more, have it look a little bit more like a slurvy. You can backfoot it to a lefty. You can go down on the way to a righty. Yeah, this is the best start, but he does have a few more things. With two strikes, the quality of the pitches could get a little bit better, and like I mentioned, that arm side fastball having, you know, the quality of the pitch a little bit better. But man, I mean, that's, I'm picking here. Like, he's made some adjustments. He slowed it down. He's using his legs a little bit more. His finish is a little bit better. He doesn't have the alligator arm that he had when he was trying to force location and force break. it's a process, and the process is getting a lot better.
Brendan, yeah, let me ask you this, because I know you're still on the line. We asked this question, you know, just sort of for giggles a little earlier about who you'd want going in a one-game playoff right now if you're the Blue Jays. I don't want to ask that question, but I want to ask you this. If you look at the starting pitching right now, Kikuchi seems to have straightened things out. Manoah has been Manoah since day one. Kevin Gausman has been, you know, has been Kevin Gausman. He's been exactly what the doctor ordered. And now you've got Jose Berríos looking a lot like the Jose Berríos of last year. What's your confidence level now in this rotation compared to, let's say, 10 days ago?
A million times better. I don't know. Yeah. They just look locked in. Like when they're commanding all of these guys, they all throw hard fastballs. And when they, except for Hyunjin Ryu, would be like the only guy who doesn't really throw hard, but him too, he's a command guy. When they're commanding those pitches, it's the same as a hitter. When you control the strike zone, like that's when you're in command. And when they're hitting their spots and putting their pitches where they want to, they're unhittable, like just straight up.
Yeah, the quality, Brendan, thanks for the call. Listen, I'll say this, Kevin, you know, the quality of the stuff in this rotation is the thing that I think, you know, really stands out to me. Is just, yeah, the quality. When everybody's on, and now, again, now the Kikuchi, you know, knock on wood, hopefully what we've seen from him in the past couple of starts is more representative of what we're going to get in the next couple of starts. It's the quality of stuff in this rotation.
Brendan, and you have
really,
nailed it.
Really good.
Absolutely. I believe both of you nailed it when you were talking about how good the stuff is, and when they're locating, they can be dominant and go really deep in games. You know, I do think when I watched the pitch comm, I had my doubts about that. But all they've talked about since that shortened spring training is rhythm and timing. Rhythm and timing. Here, Alec Manoah said that. You heard Berríos mm-hmm. say that. You've heard Kevin Gausman say that. You heard Ryu
Although
say that
does,
over and
Manoah
over
does
and
not
over again.
Pitch
I understand that. But what he was saying about the shortened spring training is rhythm and timing. Like getting a flow of you get the sign, you go. You get the sign, you go. There's not a whole lot of messing around. And I think with Berríos especially, that pitch comm, you could tell it's giving him something. Like it's like that little – we talk about Bo Bichette all the time with that internal clock. And you just watch him with the pitch comm when he gets it. It's rare that he shakes off.
Yes.
You know, whoever's catching behind there will give the sign. He gets it and go. He'll get
and
right back on the rubber. He gets the sign. He gets it and go. Yeah.
And we saw with Ty France tonight, the same thing we saw a couple of starts against the Yankees. Like it's got starting to get into guys, starting to get into their heads.
It
know,
is.
When they're standing at the plate.
It's almost like another pitch. It's almost like they have such a quick pace now that the hitter is more thinking about getting ready than he is actually getting loose and having his good rhythm. And that just gives that pitcher an advantage. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's everything, but you can tell it's something. And something now is starting to get all these pitchers, at least the guys that are using it, into a flow. And you know, I'm sure if you start asking these guys, it's helped them.
Well, you know, the beautiful. To me, one of the most beautiful innings here was, from the Jays' point of view, that third inning after the Jays put some runs on the board, and Jose Berríos comes out, and it's Rally, Frazier, and France, nine pitches, boom, boom, boom. Thanks for coming. See ya.
That's what the
I mean,
good ones
that is
do.
That is the ultimate shutdown inning. That's
what the good ones do.
That's the ultimate shutdown inning.
That's your job. Is whenever your team scores some runs, you're facing a tough pitcher. You get some runs, you attack the zone, you don't nibble. And the confidence, I talk about this all the time, it's silly to say, but it's 90% of the battle. When you have confidence on no matter what you're trying to do with a baseball, you're going to be better at it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what the pitch comm has done for a guy like Jose Berríos is when he gets on a roll, it really puts him on a roll. It's almost like
Boom.
It's a metronome. It's almost like it's just a clock that keeps it going. Barker, thanks for doing this. We'll be back tomorrow. Blair and Barker from 10 to noon Eastern on Sportsnet 590, The Fan 360, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Again, the final score tonight from the Rogers Center. Toronto 3, the Seattle Mariners nothing. Thanks for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, served up by the always game-ready Jack Link's Meat Snacks. Feed your wild side, baseball fans, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night.